page 1093 and will therefore be Acts 2, and it's 1 to verse 11. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues."
The second reading is taken from John chapter 14, starting at verse 15, and that can be found on page 1082 in the Church Bibles. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave."
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. That was an interesting experiment, wasn't it? It's not a plan for every week, I must say that. But one of the reasons that we thought about trying that sharing together in that way is that, as Steve said, it's a reenacting of the story that we heard. And the disciples were in that room, and they were together, and they would probably have just had breakfast together. And that's what we did. In the first way this morning, we could receive the grace of God. Now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And looking at the clock, I don't have very long, so I'll try and give you the shortened version of what we had at 9 o'clock. But that's partly because a second wave, if you like, is that we'd like the opportunity for people to respond or just to sit in God's presence. And I don't know about you, but a bit earlier, all the way through the service, in fact, there's just been a sense of God being here with us. And we want more of that. And that's my sermon, basically. We want more of that. 2 weeks ago, the prayer ministry team shared a couple of pictures which really struck me, and I put them on this PowerPoint almost straight away. And one was of a picture of God's blessing raining down on this church. Do you remember that picture? Do you remember hearing that? But that we had umbrellas up, and so we weren't getting it. Do you remember that? That really struck me at the time. More of that a bit later. But the other picture that week was of the doors were open to the church and God was outside, but he wasn't allowed in. Now, both of those troubled me, but maybe there's something about today, about how we respond to those pictures. Yeah? Having the umbrella up, which means we're not getting that blessing that he's raining down on us. And the other is that he's there waiting, but we're not letting him in. Now, with the team, we meet every week and we share something of what has God been doing this week. So I'll just share very briefly something that God has been doing this week. It's Thy Kingdom Come. Today is the last day of that sort of 9 days of prayer. And I was at the school on Wednesday, I think it was. We had a little prayer session afterwards. And there were some children there as well. And what I used was a jug of water, a glass and a bowl. And it was very simply, you pour the water into the glass and it overflows. And it was a sign of God's overflowing blessing, overflowing love and overflowing spirit. And everyone was invited forward to pour into the glass. And as it overflowed, just to pray something out loud or quietly. And there was one little lad there who came forward 5 times. Now, after the 3rd time, it became obvious he wanted to empty the jug. Because when I got another bottle, he went, oh! But the 4th time and the 5th time, he prayed out loud for his school, his teachers, the other pupils. And as I was leaving, the head teacher said to me, that might be the first time he's ever prayed out loud. Praise God. Something as simple as that. I think God is continually doing things amongst us. He has been for some time, and he's doing more, and he wants to do more. Amen? Facebook's a great thing. About a year ago, I posted something on Facebook about church not being nice. Somebody had obviously said to me at the end of a service, nice service, vicar. And I took exception. So I wrote this, and I said, it's not nice, it's a bunch of thrill seekers. Do you feel like a thrill seeker today? No. Well, maybe you will do by the end. Thrill seekers, in as far as we gather to meet with the creator of the universe. Yes? We gather to meet the creator of the universe. It's a dangerous place because God transforms us, and that's good. But we need to let go. We need to let go of selfishness, of guilt, and of shame. And we need to get used to being loved, loved so deeply we couldn't have thought it possible. And when we ask you to join us to others, it's not because we're lonely or desperate or even that we want your cash. No, it's because we want you to have this too. Church is not nice, it's amazing. Do you want to be able to say that about Christ Church? Yes. Okay. So steps in the Holy Spirit. And I have, in the past, described the Holy Spirit as the introvert at a dinner party who is can be ignored or thought very quiet, but when he has something to say, it will be profound and life-changing. Is that your experience of the Holy Spirit? He's always there, and he's in us if we have said, Jesus is my Lord. But we can very easily ignore him and not recognize his presence. But when we do, everything changes. Now, we know, I hope, about the gifts and the fruits, the whole series of gifts that God gives to his church for the edification of the church. And the fruits are the things, the ways in which we can demonstrate that we have been changed. I have a very tiny example from when I first came to faith. I used to swear quite a lot with words that I won't say because they'll be on recording. But I'm sure you can work out what they are. And after about 9 months or so of having come to faith, I realised I no longer swore. And when I did occasionally, I'd go, oh, that wasn't right. Where did that come from? And that was just the Spirit very gently working in one small area of my life and changing me. And it's a constant process. That's why we constantly ask for more of the Spirit to change us. And the characteristics will be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Is that the kind of church you want to be in? Is that the kind of world you want to be in? So we need more of the Spirit to bring these things out. So to the story we were reenacting, what we saw there, I don't know about you, but I tend to think about them sitting around for 10 days waiting for something to happen. Well, actually, they would have been getting on with life because Jesus didn't say, I will come to you again on Pentecost at 9:15. He said, I will come to you. So that morning wouldn't have been any different to any other morning. They had breakfast together. It was a bit chaotic. They were sharing what had been going on in their lives in between, just as we were a bit earlier. And then a wind and a noise came. The tongues of fire above their heads came. They started speaking in languages that they didn't understand, but the people outside who come together did. And they're going, what are these northerners talking about? They don't talk like that. It was holy chaos, as Steve described it. And the people are then questioning, what does this mean? And Peter gets up to speak. And if we've got the next slide, please. And he quotes the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Both men and women. There'll be wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below. On the name of the Lord, all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus spoke about the miracles. He said, I do this so that you will know who I am. So the signs are to show who Jesus is. And in John 14, Jesus said, you will do greater things than these. The Holy Spirit is God in peace and power. Visions, prophecy, signs and wonders. And Peter goes on to talk about the greatest miracle, which is Jesus being brought back from the dead. And that they were witnesses. And that Jesus received the Holy Spirit and is now being poured out. And he was Lord and Messiah. And the whole passage of chapter 2 ends with this. They ask, not what does this mean, but what should we do? What's our response to this? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. Repent and be baptized. So this all builds up into a picture of the Holy Spirit moving. And if you can say, Jesus is my Lord, then you receive the Holy Spirit, a bit like that pilot light you find in a gas boiler. You know when you look through that little window? But if you turn on the gas, you put on more fuel, what happens? The heat blows up, doesn't it? So that pilot light is there in you. You put some fuel in there, and you're going to be on fire. Not just you individually, but us as a church, and us as churches around. Who is he? He is a counsellor, a guide. He is an advocate. He speaks for us to the Father. We pray in the power of the Spirit. He is our teacher. And there's lots in that John 14 about being taught how to obey. And that's the key point, that we cannot do this on our own. We need the Spirit to be able to do the Father's will. Can we say that? I need the Spirit to do the Father's will. Now, I reread a book recently called When God Breaks In by Michael Green. And he basically wrote a book about various revivals of the past. And he identified five key things which you can identify as characteristics of these revivals. And it is, first and foremost, prayer. Constant prayer. Now, this has been Thy Kingdom Come. I don't know what your involvement has been, how much you've been praying, how much you've been praying together with other people, but there's always more. There's always more that we can do. And I know that it's on Sarah, my wife's heart, that 24/7 prayer event here at some time would be a really good thing to do. Now, if that's on your heart too, please speak to her afterwards. I didn't tell her I was going to say that. Constant prayer. The second is holiness, is an understanding of what it is to be set apart for God. That our behaviour matters. And we're all broken. If you want to talk about that, come and see the evening service tonight. And we're all sinners. But the Holy Spirit moves in us to transform us and make us more like him. Thirdly is an awareness of eternal destiny, a knowledge that there is something beyond this life. And fourthly, really importantly, a return to Scripture. Taking the words of the Bible seriously, baptizing ourselves in it. It means immersing ourselves in the words of Scripture. And in some cases, it will mean suffering. Some of the examples are places of the persecuted church. And yet God moves in power in those places. An apathetic, prayerless church that's flippant about the issues of death and judgment and rejects the authority of Scripture is one in which God will not move. And we don't want that to be us, do we? So one of the words that I've heard more often than any other since I've been here, I've only been here a month, I can't believe it, I feel like I've been here forever. You probably do too, but in a different way, is excited. Lots of people have said to me, I'm excited, or we're excited. Well, what you do with excitement is action. We don't just stay in excitement, we have to do something with it. So I'd like to very briefly tell you a story of one of those revivals. And it is the Lewis Revival. If anybody knows of it, then I apologise if I'm repeating, but I'll repeat it anyway. As told by a chap called Duncan Campbell. Now, God had already been moving before he got there, and he will make that point that it wasn't ever about him. He just happened to come into something that God was already doing. And he'd had an amazing encounter with God 30 years before on the battlefield at the end of the First World War. And in 1949, the island of Lewis, the younger people had been drifting away from the church. Does that sound familiar? That was in 1949. And two women in their 80s, one was completely blind, it was on their hearts. And so they started praying from 10 o'clock at night till 3 o'clock in the morning. And they did this twice a week for a few weeks. And one of them had a vision, which was of somebody unusual in their pulpit and lots of people in the church. And they picked up on the verse 44:3 from Isaiah, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Hence the thing about the jug of water. And another character comes into the story, which is a young deacon in the church, who on two occasions, the first time he read out a verse from Psalm 24 and shouted out, God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And fell to the ground. And then a few weeks later, Campbell had come as this evangelist. He was leading a meeting just before he went to bed, and nothing much happened. And he spoke at the meeting. And then right at the end, this same deacon stood up and said, God, you can't fail us. You can't fail us. You promised to pour water on the thirsty and floods upon the dry land. God, you can't fail us. And Campbell said he was really impressed by this man's closeness to God. And then the blacksmith of the village burst in and he said, he's done it. And Campbell opened the door and 600 people were standing outside the church. 600 people. And nobody had spoken to them. There was no leafleting. There'd been no evangelism. God had convicted them that they had to come back to him. And for me, I think that story says something, which is that we can have mission action plans and we can plan ministries and plan mission and we can do this and we can do that and try and work out what are we going to do. But it's not about that. It's about catching the wave of what he's doing out there and crying out to God in our own need for holiness, in our own need for scripture, and our own need for prayer, and he will honour that, and he will join us. So I'd just like to highlight five very brief things about that revival. There was the recognition of a need to be obedient and holy. Secondly, they cried out for mercy to God, and they were convicted of their separation from him. Thirdly, there were only some of the gifts. There were prophecy and visions, but there weren't any tongues and no healing. So no one revival looks the same. No one movement of God looks the same. And key is it overspilled from the parish of Barvas to the whole island, all 37,000 of them, and then over the sound, over to Harris as well. God doesn't just pour out his spirit into one church. He wants it to pour in and then pour out to everywhere around. And just one little story as well. One of the parishes was a place where only men were allowed to give testimony. After God came, it was everyone. And what did it say in Joel's prophecy? I will pour my spirit on men and women. So I'd just like to close with the picture amended. The picture I started with was a family underneath a lovely little umbrella kind of tent, and none of the rain was going to get in. But maybe our response today needs to be, no, if you could go right to the last picture, sorry. Maybe our response to B needs to be that we put down our umbrellas. Now, everybody's umbrella is going to be different. Everything that's preventing us from receiving more of God is going to be different. But maybe we just need to be in that place where we can say to God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of Pentecost, and we thank you that you poured your spirit out on your church and that you continue to do so today. I pray that you will help us in that medieval prayer. I want to want you more. I want to want you more. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at this point, we were going to have a time of response. However, it's now 12 o'clock, and a number of you are probably thinking, I either need to go, or I need to go and get children, or whatever. Now, I think we can still have that time of response for those who can stay. But if you are not able to stay, then please do go, whatever it is that you have to do. There will be other opportunities to come before God. It's not just Pentecost. Pentecost is a day to remember that we can. So if you do need to go, then go. We could invite the band maybe to play something gentle.